Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Get in touch with the truth, the light, and the life. 657 AM.
Good day, everyone. It's such an honor to be back. It's great to talk to you again. So today, I brought my husband, Aldred de Beer, and he is a special guest for the next three episodes on this podcast and on this platform. So today and for the next two episodes that follow, we are going to talk about gaming addiction, the effects of gaming, why it is not a good idea to have hours and hours and hours of screen time. And then also we're going to talk about the neurophysiology of the brain, the effects of dopamine, and why too much dopamine is not a good idea. So welcome, Aldred.
Thank you, Anke, and good day, listeners. It's a privilege to be here today with you guys.
So, Aldred, tell us about yourself and why are you also the co-author of the book, The Digital Dilemma?
Okay, so I was addicted to gaming for about 20 years. And when I speak to people, I normally tell them, you know, it's about 7 hours of gaming per day for 20 years. So we're basically looking at about 30,000 hours worth of game time. So a lot of hours sitting in front of the screens and the computers playing the games. So I've been basically been exposed to all kinds of games. So from my side, I normally bring the experience side and Anke normally brings the academic side. And we combine both to try and help the people out as best we can.
So with regards to the book, what if readers read the book, The Digital Dilemma, what was the chapters that you wrote in the book?
Yeah, I've read a few books on this specific subject, and not to be biased or anything, this is really a textbook that all parents should have. It doesn't only speak to specific areas, like, for example, cyberbullying. It speaks to gaming. It speaks to pornography. It speaks to even the upcoming metaverse. So it really addresses all the very significant subjects in our digital world today. My contribution with the book was the first three chapters, the parts of the mind or the body, the soul and the spirit, which is very, very important because from my side, I understand the significance of these three parts and how overexposure to digital media can affect these three parts. And then I also wrote the part on the gaming addiction, the gaming neurophysiology. Also, I think chapter 9 is my personal testimony, which is very good to read. And then I think the last chapter on the metaverse, I did some research and studying on that chapter. And yes, that was also a chapter I wrote in the book.
So let's start from the beginning where you said that you understand the three concept or the tripod being that we consist of. We are spirit, soul, and body. So you said that you've read a lot of books and, you know, the both of us have read a lot of books and we do understand that people sometimes say spirit, mind and body or soul, mind and body. So there is what we feel like or what we've heard, an inconsistency in that tripod being. So explain to the listeners, Aldred, how God showed you exactly that we are spirit first, we live in a body, and we have a soul. And also tell us that part that happened in Port Elizabeth, how God showed you what is the solution then to not just gaming addiction or digital addiction, but to addiction in general.
I think what makes the book really unique is if you read a lot of other books on gaming problems and gaming addiction specifically, they address the subject, but they never go to the root of the problem. So what makes this book unique is that it actually goes to the spirit, the effects of the spirit. And we need to understand that we are firstly spirit. And if you don't address the spiritual effects, you're going to be stuck with a root that will not be resolved. And this is the main problem with any addiction. People normally talk about addiction and they think it's a psychological phenomenon or a psychiatric phenomenon. But in my opinion, I would firstly say that it's like a spiritual affliction that shows psychiatric and psychological symptoms. So from my side, you know, being through 20 years of addiction, gaming addiction, there's a significant problem with the spirit. Now, to understand the three parts of our being, we have the spirit on the one side, and then we have the body on the other side, and then we have the soul in the middle. So the soul is, if we sum it up, your will, your mind, basically...
It's all, your thoughts and your personality, yeah, and it's basically who you are.
It's basically who you are. So the way the three parts work together is the soul is the governor between the spirit and the body. So the soul decides, okay, you're either going to follow the way of the spirit or the way of the body. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that the spirit and the body or the flesh is opposed to one another. So this is where the soul has to decide, I'm going to follow spiritual things or I'm going to follow fleshly things. And obviously, when the spirit decides or the soul decides to follow the fleshly things, that shows basically any kind of addiction. That's basically the route you're going to follow.
Is that what we read in the Bible, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, yes, and the pride of life?
Yes, that's specifically what it is. So if you tend to focus more on fleshly things, your spirit will be deficient. And that's always a problem because, you know, the way Satan works, obviously because he's the prince of this earth, he can feed your soul with a lot of fleshly temptations very, very easily. And when you start focusing on fleshly temptations, you might feel satisfied for that moment, but it never lasts. So as you follow the lusts of the flesh, you deviate away from the spirit. And I think that's a problem with a lot of us nowadays is, you know, I think when we maybe can talk about the identity later on, most of us, our identity is rooted in fleshly things. You know, for example, what I have, what I've achieved.
What I look like.
What I look like, you know, what social media shows me who I am. And that's, you know, it's very difficult because if your identity is going to be dependent on what other people think about you, you are not in control of what other people think about you. So it's a problem because what they think about you tells you basically who you are, and that's not the truth. And it feeds you lies, which later on you're going to start believing those lies.
But that is exactly, sorry to interrupt you, that is exactly what we see now currently with social media specifically, is that people are building, and especially teenagers and girls more specifically, are building their whole identity on what social media is telling them, and they go after the likes and the shares and the comments. And but like you said, yes, we need to talk about this whole identity crisis a bit later on.
It's a social construct. So identity nowadays is a social construct. So people can feed you all kind of lies, you know, that's going to tell you, but, you know, you look like this and you are like this. And to be honest, you're never going to be enough. You're never going to measure up. And that is why we have a total generation that is completely depressed because they really cannot hit the mark. They always fall short. And this is what Satan will feed you, is lies about who you are, because you're always going to fall short. In other words, you're always going to feel depressed. And you're never going to be who you are or walk into your purpose and identity, because if you don't believe in who you are, you can never fulfill your purpose and identity. And that is why it's so important, and it's going to sound really strange when I say this, that your identity should not be rooted in the soul. it should be rooted in the Spirit. But we'll talk about this
a little
bit later.
Is that why the Bible specifically say that we have to cast down evil imaginations? Because that imagination part lies in the soul.
So, like I said, the soul is your will, the way you think about things, the way you, the reasoning aspect of who you are.
The battlefield.
The mind. I mean, we've read about this whole thing about the battlefield of the mind. That's specifically what it is. And then the Bible tells us that we are supposed to cast down all these evil imaginations, and that is exactly what it is. It's a battlefield. It's a battle every single day, 24 hours a day, to guard your hearts, because the Bible also tells us that we should guard our hearts, you know, because everything we are flows from what we are, what we think. So if you're not going to be in control of your thoughts, there's going to be a problem. And another example, very good example, is if you read Psalms, David. Excellent example. You will find in Psalms, if you read it, that David, he speaks to his soul. He says, I tell my soul too, or I command my soul too. And it sounds really weird, but he was functioning in a spiritual identity, and he knew that the spiritual identity had a higher hierarchy than his soul. So he could tell his soul what to do, and we should be able to tell our souls what to do. And that scripture that you quoted is exactly what David did. David said, I will tell my soul to, and I will tell my soul to do this. And
he
my
also
soul
asked his soul once, I can't remember in which psalm, why are you so downcast, my soul?
No, so what's wrong with you, my soul? That's basically what he said. And it sounds really weird that he could speak to his soul. But he was speaking from a spiritual side to his soul. And the spirit should be the highest of all three. Should be the spirit, because if your identity is rooted in the spirit, then you'll have dominion over your soul, and the soul will have dominion over the body. So there's a very specific hierarchy that should be in place for these things to work. And to be honest with you, I mean, David knew things at his time that other people never knew. And it's just a kind of spiritual revelation that if you're in connection with a spiritual identity, then, you know, that is the level he functioned at, you know, as a king and a priest and a prophet, you know, and that's exactly what we should be.
So you said in the beginning that a lot of people do not get free or delivered from addiction because of the root problem that is rooted in the spirit. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so from my side, not to give you my full testimony, is I had a lot of trauma that happened to me when I was really young. You know, before the age of 6, 7 years old, I lost all 4 my grandparents and an aunt. Age of 16, I lost my father to suicide. So from my side, I had a wounded spirit, a wounded identity. And for me, it took me about 20 years to discover this. And obviously, as I always say, when you're outside the bubble, you can actually have a unique perspective on what happened to you before. So from my side, that's the only way addiction can be addressed, is, you know, looking at a spiritual wound. And the funny thing is, or not the funny thing, but the sad thing is that we have a whole generation that is walking around with spiritual wounds. We have a generation that we're raising are spiritual orphans. That is exactly who they are, walking around with wounds. And this is exactly why they're looking for this almost like fulfillment in the wrong places, because we were made to look for identity in a higher figure. And there's a specific place in our heart or our soul for God. And if you don't know about that void that you have in your heart that only God can fill, you're going to try and fill that void with all kind of fleshly addictions. And that is the root of any addiction. So you can be addicted and you can try your best to break addiction. You can go on medication. You can go on whatever you want. You go to rehabilitation clinics. But if the root of the problem is not addressed, you're going to have regression. You're going to go back to where you were before. And that was my story also. And this is why you're going to find with any kind of rehabilitation program, there's about a 60% success rate, which is really not that high. And the problem is people always go back to what they know before because it gives them a sense of security and safety. So you always want to go back to, even if it's bad for you, you'd rather be safe in what you know than moving forward into an unknown thing, you know. So that is the root of any kind of addiction, in my opinion, is the spiritual wound. And I think that's also addressed in, I think, chapter 2 of the book, is where I specifically talk about the identity wound or the spiritual wound.
So your wound specifically was loss. What other type of wounds can there also be that will be rooted in the spirit?
I think the biggest thing for me, or as I understand, it's this conflict, a generation of conflict. You know, they are exposed to conflict every day.
I think like loss divorce. Is one thing.
Yeah, like, you know, any. I would say trauma. Let's say trauma, any kind of trauma. So any kind of trauma, we need to understand that trauma is a spiritual problem. You know, it manifests itself in the spirit. So this is a big thing, because if exposed to any kind of trauma, it's going to cause a spiritual problem. And that is why it's so difficult to resolve trauma effectively, because if you don't address trauma from a spiritual side, it won't be that effective at all.
Okay, so just before we end this episode for now, just tell us quickly, how did the Holy Spirit show you how to heal this wound in the spirit?
Well, yeah, from my side, you know, when I broke my addiction, it was really through the working of the Holy Spirit that it happened. I didn't really understand at that point, but that was the only thing that broke me out of addiction, out of bondage of addiction. So we were at a congress, I think it was last year in Port Elizabeth, and I think I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
But your wound was inflicted in Port Elizabeth.
That, yeah, I grew up in Port Elizabeth, so that my whole history and all my trauma occurred in Port Elizabeth. And funny enough, when we were back for a congress talking about this in Port Elizabeth, I was woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning when the refrigerator was making
a horrible noise.
A horrible noise. And being the person that I am, I immediately thought, okay, this is the enemy. He knows I have to talk about, I have to talk the next day, and he knows I can't function without sleep. So he's trying to deliberately keep me out of sleep so that I can't be as effective as I can with my talk in the following day. So obviously getting out of bed and be very angry and shifting the refrigerator around.
Rebuking the devil.
Rebuking the devil.
I remember.
And rebuking the devil, and yes, getting into bed and lying in bed, and I thought to myself, well, that's done. And then it is like I had this this voice inside me that told me, but why are you rebuking the devil? So I was like, what is this? And the Holy Spirit basically told me, it's not the devil, it's me. Yeah, I woke you up. I have to have a discussion with you.
I need to talk to you.
Need to talk to you. I've got an appointment. So I said, no, okay, that's good. So I'll lie in bed and I'll listen. And he told me, no, get up, grab a pen and paper. You're going to have to write this down. And that is when he, I think 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, gave me the revelation of how to break an addiction effectively, the role of the Holy Spirit in breaking addiction, which is something I've never heard or read in a book at all before. It's just saying, you know, like the Bible teaches us in Romans 8, that the Holy Spirit will testify with your spirit that you are the children of God. And he basically told me, you know, I was there when you were created, and that I know your blueprint better than anyone else. So if I understand the blueprint, I know how to fix you. I know the spirit, because spirit talks to spirit. Spirit cannot talk to soul, you know. So if the Holy Spirit can talk to your spirit and you primarily spirit, then he's the only one who's got the blueprint to help you break addiction. So it might sound very...
It is profound.
Very like over-spiritual. But in my opinion, like I said, I've never heard this before. I've never read this before. But I know, and I think it was funny also that my whole history, everything took place in Port Elizabeth, and this was given to me in Port Elizabeth. So I don't see this as coincidence at all. This was bringing me back to my place of trauma, and then showing me what trauma took place and how it took place and what his role is in fixing the trauma. So that's what he basically told me, is I know your blueprint, you know, I'm the one who can do this for you. And then also he told me something else very significant about speaking in your language. You know, when you pray
in your heavenly language now.
Heavenly language. So when you pray, you might be praying to break addiction and all these things, but you need to understand that, you know, there's not two people involved in that dialogue. There are three people involved. So you might pray to God, which is great, but the devil can also hear what you're praying. So if he can hear what you're praying, he's going to deliberately try and block all those things from you. But if you pray in the spirit, the devil does not understand your heavenly or spiritual language. So if you pray in the spirit through your spirit, this is the only way that you can basically speak through the spirit to God in prayer, where Satan does not have any kind of insight into what you pray. So we need to be clever in the way that we wage our battles also in the spiritual side specifically, because if you speak in your heavenly language, you basically exclude Satan from that
and the dialogue. Mind, the conscience mind is also excluded, because you have no clue what you are praying.
Yeah, that's very true. And I read this study once where they did a very interesting experiment on the brain waves and the activation of the brain, and which part of the brain is activated when you start speaking in your language. So when you start speaking in your heavenly language, it actually completely shuts out your cortex. So it shuts out the logical part of your brain. And there's other parts of the brain that starts activating.
Yeah.
So this is very, very interesting in how this works. But for me, it was just
revelation.
Like a revelation almost that, you know, this is the way to move through addiction, is to really get the Holy Spirit involved. Because the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit is the comforter, he's the standby, you know. So it makes sense that that part of your spirit that knows you intimately is the one that can fix you properly.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Aldred, thank you very much. This was amazing. We will continue with two more episodes on how God showed you the solution to addiction, and then specifically for you personally, gaming addiction. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Thank you, everybody.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.